Listen, I don't know where you are right now. You could be riding down the highway or walking through your house. Listen, if you're all by yourself, what I need you to do real quick, pick up the phone, call somebody, get on social media, let somebody know that you're safe and you're glad about it. If you're not ashamed, get one accord out right there. Say,
neighbor, neighbor. Yeah, yeah. Sister, Lord, save me.
Sister, Lord, save me.
Turn around and raise me.
Turn around and raise me.
I'm glad about it.
I'm glad about it.
I'm glad about it.
I'm glad about it.
Dr. Montgomery will be celebrating his 64th birthday on January the 18th. And on January 28th, the fourth Sunday, he will celebrate his 35th preaching anniversary at the Greater King David Baptist Church. One church ministering in two locations, 7305 Harry Drive and 222 Blood Road. If Dr. Montgomery has been a blessing to you through the preaching, teaching ministry of God, you can bless him by Cash App or mail. Cash App address is $JEM2. $DRJEM2. Or send check or money order to Greater King David Corporate Office, 911 Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Help us celebrate this great man of God.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 22, recorded are these words. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. As we begin this message today, we're dealing with love, especially as Christ gave a new commandment in the 13th chapter of John, and we dealt with that this morning. And so relevant is this issue of love in a loveless society, and with all of the ills and the concerns and all of the crises that we face. Certainly, if there ever was a time that the message of love be reaffirmed in the believer's heart, it is now. But this message, interestingly enough, moves further from the commandment to love all as much as John 13 talks about. But this is a love that is certain to be a reality among the brethren, because it's talking about this love that belongs to the believers, the children of God, brothers and sisters of the faith. Now, if you can't love your brother and sister in Christ, the question is, who can you love? Because if we can't demonstrate love in the home, it is a reality that we will not demonstrate real love outside the home. Now listen at this, because I want you to see this. Peter is talking. This is the same man that Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" So Peter deals with this issue of love experientially, because he knows the kind of love that Jesus presented to them in the 13th chapter of John, and said, "A new commandment I give unto you." And he says, "To love one another as I have loved you, so love ye one another." He understood that as time went by and went on, that God was not talking about loving one another with the earthly heart or the natural love, because those things were very limited. But he was talking about loving out of a far more greater and grander love, and that was the love of God, the agape love. And so here he talks about where this love comes from and what it's born out of, because we are born again. So if we are born again, then we also have some realities of another realm, and that's the supernatural realm. That's the spirit realm. We were born in the natural realm, but we were born again in the spirit realm. And too many of us try to love in the born again, in the born love, instead of the born again love. And that's where we miss the mark. That's where we fall short. That's where we find ourselves in a pickle, because we're trying to love with the wrong love. Now listen, notice again, verse 22 says, seeing in the continuation of this process, I'm always understanding, always reaching a new level of understanding, always grasping for a new revelation of this reality. Ye have purified your souls. How? In obeying the truth through the Spirit. Listen at this now. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Now that is the way, again, he's setting off how we purify our souls. Our souls are purified simply by the obeying of the truth, or the practicing of the truth, or the principles that we have or hear. And when we practice these principles, our souls are purified, they are cleansed, and it is that newness that we feel, that refreshing that we feel when we are in the will of God, that makes us feel so good. Now listen at this. He says, through the truth, obeying the truth through the Spirit. Now again, the Holy Ghost's job is to take you through the word and unfold the word to illuminate on whatever level you're on, so that you might understand the word. It is the Holy Ghost's job to elevate you to the next level of understanding, so you can never grow nor mature outside of the teaching ministry of the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Ghost's job to take you to new levels. That's why the believer must have the power and person of the Holy Ghost indwelling him or her so that you can be complete in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now it says, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, unto sincere love, the New International Version translates this word, of the brethren. If your love for the brethren is not sincere, then you need to back up because you missed some principles in the word. You see, notice the word says, seeing ye have purified your souls. Well, this is the reality that brings about the produce or the product of your purified soul. I love you not because of me, but I love you because of him. I love you sincerely because I am not looking at you for you. I am looking at you through him. If I look at you for you through these eyes, I might see some stuff that will make me not like or love you. But when I look at you through his eyes, through a pure soul, recognizing that where you are, I may have been, and because I've been moved or elevated doesn't give me a right to act like I've never been where you are. So I don't see you the way I see you in the flesh. I see you the way he sees me through you. And so therefore, I don't have a right not to love you because I've been messed up also. Now, you know, it's hard to talk about somebody else being messed up when you don't forget you've been messed up. You might be straightened up now, but remember that was a time you were messed up. Messed up. But the Lord straightened you up. And my brother, my sister, I believe in my own heart that the reason God straightens us up is not only for his will and not only for our good, but also for an example to others. Because the worse off you've been and have been straightened up by God, the better witness you can be of a hopeless situation finding hope. You see, folk who haven't been too bad, hadn't stepped too far off the path, they can't deal pretty much with hardcore love. See, they don't feel that. That don't move them. They think they've been almost all right all their lives, and they don't need that much to get right. They just a little dab will do, you know, just a little bit. But somebody who's messed up so bad and know that there is no hope for them, no chance for them, and so forth, and the word of God goes forth, pricks their heart, and makes them understand it's exactly those kind of people also that the Lord Jesus Christ came to live and die for so he could give them hope to know what real love is. Real love is loving somebody when they don't deserve it. See, the kind of love we love one another with is when you deserve my love and you act right. I give it back to you. But if you ain't got no, excuse me for the modern terminology, no act right, then I keep my love to myself. Anybody know anything about that? Hell, y'all gonna get holier than thou again. You know, when you ain't got no act right, then I start cutting off the benefits and cutting off the privilege. You keep acting worse, I cut off more and more and more. Y'all know that's how we do with the natural love. But aren't you glad that the Lord don't love us with that kind of love? Because there have been a many days you would have woke up and a whole lot of your stuff would have been cut off. And you pick up the phone to call heaven and it's disconnected. I wish I had somebody. But thank God he does not love us like that, and it is important that we understand we cannot love one another like that. I might not like what you do, but I can't hold that against you. When I understand that it's the spirit of the Antichrist or the enemy on the inside of you that's making you act like that, if I take care of the problem and help you get delivered of that situation, then you are not controlled by that situation, which means there'll be a change in you, and then I will like the you, but I've got to love the you in spite of you. Listen at this now, because it says, unto unfeigned or sincere love of the brethren. And notice what he goes on to say. He says, see that ye love one another. It's an obligation. Yeah.
It's obligatory. See that. You make this a responsibility. I'm going to love you whether you like it or not. Do you know there are some folk who do stuff to make you not like them? There are folk who know how to get on your last. Last. Somebody say last. I don't have that one. Nerve. And yet your responsibility is to love them. I think one of the reasons they do that is because they ain't getting enough love. Somebody gonna hear me here. Some folk do that to get attention. Listen at this. It says, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Your command is, with all your heart and with all your strength, love one another the way Christ intended. Now, I want you to note that if it weren't a difficult task, that the word pure and fervently wouldn't have been in the text. So that means, again, that it has to be a focused love. It has to be a focused love. Why must it be a focused love? Because you have to always understand that the love that Jesus wants you to love with is a love that he has given you. That love, that agape love, that holy love. And then secondly, of course, it's got to be a fit love. And the reason it's got to be fit is because it has to be pure. If it isn't pure, then it's not fit love. It falls short of the standard that God has set. But then lastly, it's got to be a finished love. Ain't no questions about it, because this is the way the Lord wants you to love. It's the love that he has given. It's the love he wants us to exchange. It's the love that's going to bring the balance between believers. If I love you the way I'm supposed to love you and you love me the way you're supposed to love me, then we love each other the way Christ wants us to love, and that brings a balance, and it is finished. There is no more discussion, no more debate. It is determined already how we ought to love one another. I promise you, a lot of the stuff that we experience in the church wouldn't go on in the church if folk loved one another like they ought to love one another. You wouldn't have divisions and schisms in the church if everybody loved, because if something were wrong with you or something were wrong with me, instead of telling somebody who can't do nothing about the problem, love would make you come and tap me on the shoulder and say, brother pastor, I see this in you, or I see this is missing, or I want to share this with you out of love, not trying to hurt me or tear me down. It's obvious that the devil is doing that already. So building one another in a love, building one another up in the way God wants us, would help me receive it in the right. I got news for you. When you play and act like and pretend that you're telling a brother or sister something in love, when in fact you are riding on your high and holier than thou horse, they can't receive it because it ain't coming from a pure heart. There is a way you can tell anybody anything and they will receive it when it comes out of a heart that's pure and in the love of Christ. If I know better and you are a new believer or a young believer, or you're not where God wants you to be, then when I address you, I've got to realize you ain't where you ought to be. And having detected that, I've got to handle you like you ain't where you ought to be. Which means very simply that I've got to learn to handle you tactfully. And I've got to learn how to handle you in a way where you see the love more than you see me. Because if you see the love that's coming from me, then you can receive what me is saying. Have I got a witness? Think about this. Think about this. And I need you to understand this. How many folk that you know have either dropped out of organizations, auxiliaries, ministries, and even left the church because church folk didn't know how to show love. If I want to be talked about and lied on, if I want to be misused and abused, I could stay in the world for that. If I want somebody to shoo-shoo about me and, stab me in the back, I could have stayed in the world for that. If I wanted somebody to make me feel like I was little, small, insignificant, don't matter, don't mean nothing because I ain't got no money and position, I could have stayed in the world for that. If I would be prejudicially chosen against or someone to not put me or pull me into that clique or organization because I didn't have the qualifying things to be what they are, I could have stayed out in the world for that. So it ought to be something different about the people who are in the church who don't look at the external but the internal because of the eternal realities. In other words, I need somebody to love me just as I. Hello, somebody. And show me what I ought to be. Listen. Because I know that ain't for you. I'm just preaching. I know that, but listen. See that ye, you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Listen at this. Listen. This word brings us to understanding. Verse 23 says, being born again or having been born again, or in the state or status of a born again believer. If you are not there, this does not relate or apply to you. It says, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. New International Version says, not of perishable seed, but imperishable. The Amplified Version says, not of mortal origin or seed or sperm, which means that this born again experience is not a natural one that I'm talking about, so don't confuse the two. That was the first time experience of being born. He's saying I'm talking about a second time, a born again experience. Listen to what he says. He says, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now listen at this. If I am born of the Word of God, if I am born of God's Spirit, if I am born of the will of God, then the reality is I need that same Word that is alive, that brought me to life, that quickeneth me to deal and dwell with me, because it is the only thing that is eternal. For God said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot or tittle of my word shall ever pass away. So the reality is, if I'm ever going to be all that I'm supposed to be, and if I am born again, then just like I feed my natural man, I have to feed my spirit man. Just as there are necessities in the natural, there are necessities in the spirit. And so I must understand that what my soul and my spirit need is the Word of God, because the Word is alive. Listen to this. The Word is alive, and all of those things connected with the Word that are necessary for my spirit man to be nurtured is in the Word. But not only is it alive, but the Word says it abideth forever. That's a sure thing. We can count on that. We can depend on that. It was here before we got here. It's here since we are here, and it will be here once we leave here. The Word abideth forever. Now, just because, again, Peter wants to make clear and give us some understanding about the Word that's eternal and alive, and about us who are natural and flesh on the both sides of that. Notice he says in verse 24, for all flesh... Somebody say all flesh.
All flesh.
Healthy flesh, sick flesh, black flesh, white flesh, young flesh, old flesh. Flesh. Listen. all flesh is as grass. Well, what do you mean, Peter, as grass? It says, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. Well, what do you mean? Well, I'm going to explain it. He says, the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Now, notice here, he says, all flesh is as grass. Now, most of us understand that the grass and the flower are seasonal. Yeah. I don't care how pretty they are and beautiful they are. Most of them that we know and experience are seasonal. And even those grasses that grow and die out of their season and are reborn again when their season comes back in, still understand the process that grass is not here to stay, or the flower or the beauty or the glory of it is not here to stay. And so what Peter is simply saying is that when we understand in and of ourselves, our glory is temporary, our glory is seasonal, our lives and lifespans are very short on this side. He contrasts this shortness of time and season with the eternity and length of God's word that is everlasting and that is eternal. Now notice here again what he makes clear, because he says in verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Now, you won't endure forever. Your glory won't endure forever, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Now, here is the premise and the understanding that when we understand the power of God's word, when we understand the glory of God's word, when we understand what God's word is designed to do and the effect that it will have on us, and when we take the word, digest the word, and begin to live the word, we have the promise of the word. Now, listen at this, because the word is alive and because the word abideth forever, the chances that the word fails or falls or comes short of what God promised is nil to none. But the fact that you, by contrast of that, do just the opposite of the word, you need to have the word to strengthen you to become complete, to become all that God wants you to be. No believer can make it, can grow, can develop, or become what God wants them in totality outside of the word. That gets me when church folk can come to church on Sunday but never show up for Bible study. Sunday school, NBC. Oh, he done stopped preaching and going to meddling now. Well, let me help you understand something. If you ate once a week physically, what do you think it would do to your body over time? If you ate one good meal on a Sunday morning and then went all week long with no food for an extended period of time, how do you think that will affect the body? Well, since you can't ask that, let me ask you this question. If you feed your spiritual man one time a week, or maybe twice on the same day, but still once, one day in the week, how do you think your spirit man will feel not being nourished by the word of God? Well, when you understand the only thing that can deal with your eternal soul is the eternal word, and you need to make sure that you are in the study of the word, that you are under the preaching of the word, that you are in the practicing of the word to become everything God wants you to be, because without the word, you are an empty shell. That's why you can raise so much. I didn't even have to say it. Y'all knew it, didn't you? You felt it all in your being, didn't you? Listen at this, and I'm closing. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. In other words, Peter's saying, when you hear this word, you ain't got no more excuse. You can't say, I don't know. You can't say, I wasn't taught. You can't say, Pastor ain't never preached that. You can't deny these truths when you hear this word. So now what does that do? First of all, you need to recognize that if you hear this word, you are held accountable to this word. I said it, I'll say it again. If you hear this word, turn to your neighbor and say, did you hear that?
Yeah.
Turn to the other one, because they might not want to hear you say, did you hear that?
Yeah.
Okay. And now listen at this.